Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist St. Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Let us attend. At that time, a certain man came to Jesus and asked him, saying, Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing? Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, All things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
Today, during the next litany, after the sermon, we will have an anointing with the holy oil from the most streaming icon, Cardiotissa, from St. Tikhon's. So if some of the brothers were there and all of you have experienced this, but we'll pass the blessing on to all of us today. I have some oil brought from there, and may God bless us all with that great joy. Life has a way of taking things from us. I think when you get older and older and older, and maybe Dad could say amen to this, 94, that life takes a lot of things from you. Your family, some die, some are scattered because of sin, perhaps, just distance sometimes. Our health goes, our wealth leaves us. Life takes things away from us. The older we get, the more I think goes out. Because of the sin of this world, our own infirmity, and just the natural process of aging and decay. Losing your life for Christ's sake really matters. It matters a lot. And that's what our gospel calls us to do. Because really there's no blessing to be had in just allowing things to take its natural course in your life and having you lose things. It's really a call from Christ to each one of us. And it's a radical call to sell all. And perhaps today as we read this gospel through together and think on it, God will change our view of ourselves and of what it really means to have our hearts set on riches and things in this life. Losing our life is only possible if we do it in Christ. And it's only profitable if we do it deliberately and purposefully to gain the kingdom and separate ourselves from everything that separates us from him. That's the call of this gospel today. It's a call that starts with the commandments. Jesus refers to the Ten Commandments. And he says, keep the commandments. And he lists off some of the commandments. And the man responds immediately that I've kept them from my youth. The ones that he listed anyway. But the first commandment is the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this commandment from the book of Exodus is put this way. And I'll read a few verses from Exodus. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. This is the first commandment. Which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I delivered you from slavery. And I took you out of the house of bondage, where you were tied against your will to everything that was difficult and sinful and tough in this world, in this life, in this world. I delivered you. I brought you out. You didn't do it yourself. And then he says this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven or earth and bow thyself down to it, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon them to the second and third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And so the Lord, in referring to the Ten Commandments, was referring it precisely to this commandment about loving God. Now, we might say with a rich man that his idol, what he set before his eyes, what he constructed, was his money. And we might instantly marginalize this entire passage because we aren't filthy rich like he was. I'm afraid that's not what Jesus had quite in mind. And so, we have to ask ourselves a question. Because it's put well by Peter. Right after this, in the next verse, Peter says, we've left everything. He understood what Jesus was asking for. We've left everything and followed you. And then Jesus said, you'll be blessed in this kingdom and in the life to come, in the eternal kingdom. If you've left your houses, your lands, your parents, whoever, whatever it takes, if God requires it, you'll do it. So this rich man, he had his idols. But what is it for us? Now I'm going to set before you some things to think about, to probe your heart with, perhaps. I stand guilty myself when I look at these things that could be idols for us. Is it pleasure and all its nuances? Is that what we're chasing in our life? Is it power? Is it comfort? Making ourselves just take our ease? Is it security? Laying up treasures for ourselves here in this life, thinking somehow that's going to bring security and safety? Is it receiving affection? Do we seek the affection of the world at all costs? To be loved, perhaps. Do we seek success in whatever term you want to give success? How about good health? At all costs, be healthy in this physical world. Is it long life to live many years? What is it that we focus our attention on? And what is it that we put our devotion into that takes us away from God? For this is what the Lord is putting his finger on. It's precisely that which we need to let go of to find eternal life. Precisely that. Jesus put his finger on the rich man's money, but he puts his finger on something in your life too. Perhaps several things that you are keeping between him and yourself that prevents you from fully actuating his purpose for your life. It's something which is your idol. What do you live for? What do you think about? What do you think is indispensable for your life? What do you focus your attention and your energy on? This man, it was his money. What is it for us? This man gave thought to the treasure of this life. And the Lord said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what is our treasure? It could be all these things, intangible or tangible. Power, money, barns, houses, success, affection, power. What is it that we are laying up for treasure right now? With this thought in mind, I think it's a good way to examine our gospel now. We have a totally different view. And we'll study today a little bit briefly and touch on a few facets of this deep passage A life story, perhaps summed up in a few words by the Lord in his encounter with this man. This man was a rich man who didn't understand the great gulf between kingdom living, I'd call it, and just mere existence. And so we look at Luke chapter 18 very briefly. This good man came. And I say good because the fathers do not impugn him like they did with many of the Pharisees. They did not accuse him of coming here with some sort of desire to trick the Lord and to test him and twist it so that he could be crucified or put to death or whatever. He came here simply wanting to do something which we all want to do. Hold on to what we have and add Jesus to the equation. He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? A good question. The most important question. That's why we come to church. That's why we're here. That's why we worship God. Because there is such a thing as eternal life and we want a part of it. And so he came asking this good question. What shall I do to inherit? Interesting word, inherit. Because inheritance has come from outside of you. Inheritance is something which is given to you by someone else. It has nothing to do with what you can do. You can't get the inheritance except to be there and be the one that receives it. So eternal life, he saw rightly, as an inheritance, something that comes from God, something that's eternal. Just the thought of the word eternal should rephrase our thoughts when we come to the issue of salvation. For life eternal goes forever. Forever and ever and ever it goes on. And this is what he came to inherit. He realized that he needed to inherit eternal life. Good. It was a good start. And Jesus came to him and said, why do you call me good? As if to say, don't you know there's nothing good but God? So are you coming to me as a man for worldly wisdom? Or are you coming to me as God willing to do what I say? Because I'm eternal. That thought was in his mind as he thought about what Jesus said. Am I looking at God? Or am I thinking about just another worldly advisor for me and my wealth control? And Jesus answered him right away, as he said earlier, and pointed him to the commandments. And he gave him some easy commandments to keep, relatively speaking. In light of what follows, I think you're going to agree that these are easy. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your parents. And I think that is one of the most natural things to do, to honor your parents, although today it's being cheapened down in many ways. So he heard these commandments, and right away he answered back. And no one again accused him for this statement. He said, I've kept all these things from my youth up. I've been diligent about the things of God as I see them. In my priorities, I've done what was important. I haven't murdered, killed, stolen, all done all these things. But right away, Jesus comes and points to something different than what the man expected. He says to him something that's very, very radical. It's too radical to hear almost. It's too radical to think about. Because the devil and the world and your flesh and all your passions tell you that nothing's really that important. Eternal life is really kind of out there somewhere. It's not really that so eternal. It's far away. It doesn't influence me today in my life. And Jesus said to him, not saying there weren't other things that he had failed in, but he said this importantly, for you, my child, rich man, you, he says, lack one thing. You need to do something very radical. It's radical. He says to him, sell everything. Sell all. Everything, every single thing that you have. And distribute it consciously and well and carefully to the poor. This is what Jesus said to him to do. And by the way, this is not an idle command just given to one man at a time. And it's interesting that today the saint is Philaret, who we read about, who heard the same voice. And he obeyed. And he lost every worldly possession. I can just imagine his wife saying, what are you doing? You just gave away our last ox. We're going to starve. And in the end, he is lifted up and set next to the throne. As if God can't bless us, we have to. And so he's asked to do something radical. In fact, it's not an ask, it's a tell. He's commanded. Sell everything. Give it away. Get it far from you. And then you'll have treasure, not on earth, but in heaven. How powerful. But he doesn't stop there. After he asks you to separate yourself from whatever it is that's separating you from him, and he puts his finger on it, he puts his finger right on your heart and says, sell it all. Separate from it. This is what I want you to do. Then he says these great words. Come and follow me. Come, follow, and keep following me. That's what you need to do. And if I want you to be rich, I'll bring it back to you in this world. If not, we'll get it in the next place because that's where you're laying your treasure up. He was very sorrowful when he heard this because he had a lot of stuff to sell. I don't know if he was just afraid of all the work it would take to sell it or really was afraid of being parted from it, which is what I suspect. But how hardly somebody that's rich in whatever they're rich in, whatever they're rich into themselves, how hardly it is for them to enter the kingdom. He went away sorrowful. He was very much touched by what the Lord said. He heard it. He understood it. But he didn't do it right then. He didn't do it. He went away. And the Lord was sorrowful also. And the Lord said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And whether he's talking about the camels with high loads going through little short gates or the big ropes that are called camels going through the eye of a needle, it was all impossible. And everybody there understood it. They said, who can be saved? No one. You see, it's not now. The list. Your short list. Well, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen. I haven't dishonored my parents. It's now the whole thing. Everything's God's. And whatever he puts his finger on in your life, he says to you, remove it, sell it, get it away from you. Leave it behind because it's going to be a noose around your neck getting into the kingdom of God. Do you believe there's eternal life? Do you want eternal life? Then when the Lord comes to you, he's going to meet you. And he's going to take you out of the land of bondage, yes. And he's going to set your feet on solid ground, yes. But then he's going to say to you, child, I'm saving you, yes, in this life. And indeed, if I don't save you in this life, there's no possibility to be saved. I've delivered you. But now, you must do something. You must sell whatever it is. You must put far from you whatever it is that separates you from God. Whatever you have is a worldly rich thing in your life, characteristic, trait, possession, you need to save it. Those that followed him understood rightly. It was impossible to be saved. It's so difficult. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It is not easy to be saved. Not everyone will be saved. Because the Lord asks you to follow him, and you can't follow him dragging the things of this world behind you. Well, he doesn't leave us without hope. Because humanly speaking, we just give up right now. And eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The Apostle Paul says that's the alternative, right? Either God's God, and we're going to serve him and give everything up that he tells us to give up, or we're just going to give up and say it's impossible and eat, drink, and be merry, and just die and see what happens. Those are the two views, really. There's a myriad of in-between views, but those are the poles, I guess. Well, the Lord says, these things which are impossible with men, they're possible with God. I'm able to save you, not only to deliver you out of the land of bondage which you lived in before I came, but I'm also able to take you through the wilderness and bring you to the Jordan and have you cross the Jordan River and be in the land of Canaan forever and dwell there as your habitation. That's the promise of the Ten Commandments. That's the promise of the gospel. That God's able to deliver us from this life from all the things which tie us down, all the things which keep us from Him. God's calling us to a new life. And to live in the new life, you have to leave behind the old. It's as simple as that. It's like A plus B equals C. Old life gone, new life in, living the new life, you cross the Jordan. This life's totally different. It has its source in God, and its destination is God. Between its source in God, and its beginning, and its end, God is supposed to be all in all. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Sell everything that's between you and me, and in this life now, from now on in, till you cross the Jordan, you're going to live all for me. You've got to be all in. Philarete was all in. This rich man, I think at some point probably understood a little bit about this fact, that there's a gulf between the old man and the new man. And we're delusional if we think we can get across that gulf by doing anything else short of what God wants you to do. He's calling you to a destination, being in Christ. Being in Christ, in fellowship with Christ, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. This is the reality of the view that we want to bring to this gospel today. And see it not just as an application of the principle of new life in Christ being related solely to material wealth, but rather to see in this gospel God's view of the radical change that should be characteristic for our new life once we meet Christ and embrace eternal life. This is what God's calling us to, something radical. It's a radical view, a new view of everything. Don't ever look at this rich man again without seeing yourself there. Don't ever think that this applies to somebody else. This applies to you. This applies to what God wants for your life. Riches are not just the love of money, not just material things, but the things that we set our heart on. They're the treasures of this earth. Like I said, power, affection, children, even wives, security, stability. All these things, tangible and intangible, can be things that stand as idols between us and the Lord. That's why it's so difficult to be saved. That's why the whole world's not Christian, even though they might call themselves Christian. Jesus says the way of salvation is embrace me in faith. And if you believe, then you follow me. And where the master is, there will the servant be also. Open your minds up to this truth today, my brothers and sisters. That God's calling you to see Him. And seeing Him in His glory and all the things that He has to offer should be enough to take our eyes off the things of this world and make us willing to sell all. Not everyone will be called to live in a cave or to be a monk or to give up their ox. But I think everyone is called in some particular way to give up all of that thing that stands between them and Christ. Truly, eternal life is forever. Truly, I think, as we're sitting here cogent today away from the temptations of the world for a few seconds, we want eternal life. Are we willing to obey God and to sell all and follow Him and lay up treasure in heaven? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.